Hello, I'm Becca, the owner of Meet Cute Romance Bookshop, and this is the Meet Cute Book Pod. Today, we have the audio recording of our February 13th, 2024 virtual event celebrating Amy Lee's latest book, The Catch. It's a rom-com about an influencer who heads to a rural fishing village in an attempt to rescue her floundering career and ends up in a fake engagement with a burly and bearded bed and breakfast owner slash fisherman. Amy is in conversation with the great Lynn Painter. They chat about the origins of The Catch, Canadian culinary delicacies, which of Amy's characters she relates to the most, the intensity of hockey, the game, the players, the moms, what Amy is working on now and what's next from her, a little bit about Lynn's latest book, Happily Never After, the differences between writing YA and adult books, advice for querying authors, drafting versus editing, and of course, they share some books they've loved recently. The authors are introduced during the event, which was hosted by Meet Cute's own Alyssa Torres. A quick programming note before we begin. This Saturday is Independent Bookstore Day. If you're local, you should definitely come out and participate in the San Diego Book Crawl, which runs April 27th through 29th. Check out at SDBookCrawl on Instagram for more information. If you're not local, Saturday would be a great day to check out your nearest indie. We will be taking next Wednesday off from the podcast to recover from the excellent chaos of the weekend, but I'll meet you back here on May 8th for a chat with the wonderful, brilliant, eminently charming Cullianne Bradley. And now, without further ado, through the magic of podcasting, here's our virtual event with Amy Lee and Lynn Painter.
Welcome, everybody. I am Alyssa. I'm a bookseller at Meet Cute Romance Bookshop. And thank you guys so much for joining us for the book release party for The Catch by Amy Lee. We're joined by Lynn Painter, who's going to be in conversation for this event. So without further ado, let me briefly introduce you guys to our authors today. We are joined by Amy Lee, who is a Canadian bureaucrat by day and a contemporary romance author by night and on weekends. She writes laugh-out-loud romantic comedies featuring strong heroines, witty banter, mid-2000s pop references, and happily ever afters. When Amy is not writing, she can be found fangirling over other romance books on Instagram, eating potato chips with reckless abandon, and snuggling with her husband and golden doodle. We are also joined by Lynn Painter, who lives in Omaha, Nebraska with her husband and pack of wild kids. She is a community columnist for Omaha World Herald, as well as a regular blogger for their parenting section. When she isn't reading or writing, she can be found eating her feelings and shotgunning cans of Red Bull. And with that, I will hand you off to Lynn and Amy.
How are you tonight, Amy?
I'm good. I was just telling you I had a very hectic day, so I'm just trying to calm down and be present.
Yeah, I think for starters, you and I both need to update our bios. Like, those are the same bios we've both had, like, since before our first books came out. Like, you don't even have a child in your bio. And I was, like, writing blogs for the newspaper, which I haven't done in, like, a year and a half.
So, oh, you don't do that anymore.
No. So perhaps we should do that sometime.
That will be number one on the to-do list. And I like that we both just reference food.
Right. Like I don't really care about my career, but I like Red Bull.
It's just about the food. It's just about the chips and the Red Bull.
All right. Let's talk about your book. How was launch day?
It was good. It was very hectic. I felt the love on Instagram, though I have been unable to respond to everybody, but that is my goal for tonight. It was a lot of the parenting, working on my next book. Not as glamorous as one would think, but it was good. And I feel like so this is now my fourth release. And I feel like once you get to the fourth, it's kind of just like, here's another one. Whereas the first is like, there's all this anticipation. It's like a huge deal. Not that this isn't, but.
Right. Like my latest one, like I didn't even go out to lunch. Like I would be like, it's an excuse for free food because it's book day. And I don't even go out to lunch with anybody. So it is weird how it changes.
You didn't even get your spaghetti?
I don't remember what was going on. It was something weird where I was like, it's silly for me to go get spaghetti when blah, blah, blah. But I already regret it. Why would I ever pass up my opportunity to go get spaghetti? I mean, spaghetti is life.
Yes. Spaghetti is your celebration food.
All right. For readers who might not know, who haven't been lucky enough to read it yet, what is The Catch about? Tell us about your book.
Yes, thank you. So The Catch is the third and final installment of the influencer series. For those who may not know, the first was Set on You, about a fitness influencer. The second was X's and O's, about a romance-obsessed bookstagrammer. And then the third I have here is The Catch. The Catch is about Melanie, who is a fashion lifestyle influencer, and she gets a special opportunity to go on a sponsored trip and stay at a luxury resort in Halifax, Nova Scotia, which is in Canada, on the East Coast. And after a travel date mix-up, she arrives and finds herself in a rural fishing village, very picturesque one, but it's still very rural for her, at a very run-down B&B owned by a grumpy fisherman. And it is kind of like a mashup of While You Were Sleeping meets The Proposal, both with Sandra Bullock.
I'm such a While You Were Sleeping person, and I just loved this so much. Was that one of your favorites where you were like, I'm dying to do a spin on it, or did it just kind of take on a life of its own once you started outlining it?
So strangely enough, I kind of had this idea beforehand, but then when I was talking to somebody about it, they were like, "Have you seen While You Were Sleeping?" And I actually hadn't, and I'm embarrassed to say, because it's like an earlier 90s movie, right? Like, I feel like I'm more familiar with kind of like the later 90s, early 2000s movies, but this one was earlier. So I was like, "Wow, no, I have to watch it." So I did. I fell in love. And it just kind of snowballed from there. I feel like I did take a lot of inspiration after I watched the movie, and it kind of solidified the plot for me.
It's such a great movie, and the book made me so happy. Are you totally a sucker for Grumpy Sunshine? Or I guess, we all have those tropes we're insane about, and that's one that I love. Is that one of your favorites and you had to roll with it, or did it just kind of happen that way because he's a fisherman and you're like, well, he's a fisherman, of course he's going to be grumpy.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. It's kind of like a mix. I feel like I had the idea for this book, strangely enough, before even X's and O's. So technically,
Really?
The Catch I had pitched to be the second book. And then Tara just begged for her story ASAP. So I switched it. But yeah, so I've had the idea for this one since I believe like right after I got agented, and they said, do you see any series potential with Set on You? And then I was like, yes, I want to do a grumpy fisherman, kind of fish out of water, city girl, country guy type of book. And so that one had been an inception for a long time. And I loved the dynamic of, grumpy sunshine. Although I would say Mel's not really sunshine either. It's like grumpy and grumpy.
That's true. That's totally true. She is not at all.
She's definitely not. So it's, but the thing is, I feel like I wrote one book and it's woke up like this. So it's my teen book,
Okay.
where the hero is very sunshiny. And I kind of fell in love with that. So I don't know. I was very, very married to a very grumpy guy for a while, and then not married in real life, like married to the idea. My husband's like, "What? I'm not grumpy." But then now I'm really into like a golden retriever hero. So I don't know what will be in the future, but this one, yes, very grumpy hero.
It's that Travis Kelce energy. All of a sudden, we're all like golden retriever men, right?
It totally is. It totally is. I know. And I'm not even into sports romance, but I feel like it just makes me want to write one.
It's like you're watching it and you're like, no one could even write it this well. Like, I don't even understand how it's this great. It's impossible.
I know. I feel like sports romance would be really hard for me though, because I do not watch sports at all. So I would need like a full education on like the bare minimum rules
Right.
of
You're
every sport.
like, I can't just say you shoot hoops in the sports ball and make it work, right?
What is a touchdown?
Well, what was your I don't know. I hate to say inspiration for the Catch and Melanie story, but like, was there a specific thing? I mean, I know you just laid out how the books kind of came to pass, but was there anything about Melanie's story that really grabbed you as opposed to the other influencer books?
Yeah, I think with Melanie, so she is the friend of Crystal and Tara, who are sisters. And for those who have read the first two books, Crystal and Tara are part of a large family, kind of a large extended family. They have a lot of familial support. And of course, they have each other. They're very close. And with Mel's character, she was always kind of, the side character, the friend off to the side. We didn't really know a lot about her. And I kind of did that on purpose because I wanted to make a character that dealt with a lot of loneliness, whether she was really, aware of it or not. And so she is a person who doesn't have a lot of family. She has her brother, but in terms of parents that are involved and extended family, siblings, aside from the one brother, she just doesn't really have that. She doesn't have a support system. And Crystal and Tara are like her only friends. And so this theme of adult loneliness and then found family was something that I really wanted to play with. And the while you were sleeping kind of trope was perfect for this because I thought, how fun would it be to make her, meet a guy who has a huge family and, a family that she could sort of meld into, even though she's, very different from them. And so that was something that I really, really wanted to do and sort of put my own twist on. And then another piece of inspiration was, I guess, something that a lot of people probably don't know about me is that I'm from a really small town. So I grew up in a small town with like 5,000 people. Very, very small. So,
Wow.
yeah, anytime I read, I feel like small town romance was the first attempt at a book that I actually tried to write. It was a very terrible book, but it was small town romance because based on my own experiences. And there's something I find about like small fictional communities that I just really love because usually they're kind of quirky. They're like a character in and of itself in the book.
Yes.
And yeah, I just thought it would be really fun to incorporate something like that because the first two books that I had written were set in Boston. So, it's a large city setting, but it didn't have like a distinct kind of character. So, and then of course, I'm obsessed with ocean and all things nautical, all things East Coast. So it just kind of all fell into place. And
Well,
that's sort of where it was born.
I was gonna ask you about that. Like, how much did you know about fishermaning?
Nothing, absolutely nothing. So I am actually from Ontario, which is for those who know Canadian geography, it's like central-ish, central east in Canada. No ocean. It's not super scenic aside from lakes. We have nice lakes, but just a lot of rock. There's no ocean. There's no. Our weather is very terrible. So I always am dreaming of other places and. The East Coast was always somewhere that I really loved. I visited when I was a really young girl. I have family on the East Coast, and I always found myself, wanting to travel there as an adult. And I was looking at pictures of a little town called Lunenburg in Nova Scotia, and it's one of those towns that has, all those little colored houses, and it's just so
Oh.
cute. And I was just like, this is it. This is going to be my setting, except I changed it and named it Cora's Cove just because I didn't want to be beholden to, specifics. So.
That's always a hard decision. I'm always curious about that because I was working on something recently that I put super specific, and now I have all these terrors like, oh my gosh, what if I screw it up? So
Right.
it's
Is it
always hard to
accurate?
know if you want to go super specific, or do you want to just change it just a little bit where people who know, where they're like, I think this is my town. I think that's a better route to go.
Oh, 100%. Unless you know it really well, like say you're from that town or you've been there a lot and you can really make it very accurate to people who actually live there, I think you'd be in the clear. But if you're a little bit unfamiliar and you're not going to be going anytime soon, I feel like it's a risk because yeah, then people are going to be like, I've never heard of this place. This
Right.
isn't the vibe of my town.
That's great. All right, well, back to the Travis Kelce idea. What Taylor Swift song do you think would fit for the catch?
Okay, so I have been using August for a lot of my reels just because I don't know. Well, first, the book is set in August, so I was like, that's just an easy win. But it's a very like summery song. I feel like it is kind of nautical because it says
It
salt
is.
air in the
Yes.
first lyric.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just perfect. It's just, I feel like this book itself, it's written as a rom-com, but there is, I think, a little bit more emotion than the first two books. The first two books are a little lighter in tone, specifically book two. So this one kind of brings it back to a little bit more of a, just like a slow, melancholy kind of tone. And I just think it would, it's a perfect song. I was trying to think of other ones, but that's the main one for sure.
That is perfect for it. It absolutely is. So what was your favorite scene to write in the book? That's always interesting to me because a lot of times readers' favorite scenes are absolutely not the author's favorite scene to write. So I'm dying to know which one is your favorite.
Okay, so I have a couple, but I don't want to spoil my actual favorite because I feel like that would be like a big spoiler. So I will go with there was a scene where the two of them, so they kind of start off as enemies and then they begin to spend more time together as they're sort of in this fake engagement scenario. That is one of the tropes in the book. And they go out to have, they go out for a hike, and then he brings her, Evan brings her to eat poutine, which is a Canadian delicacy. Have you ever had poutine?
I'm not.
I feel like you would actually really like it because you love, like, you like fries, right? And that's probably the worst question I've ever asked. Of course, you like fries.
I like five foods, and fries are one of them.
Yes, okay, exactly. So yes, fries and cheese.
I
I'm
like cheese.
assuming cheese and gravy.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Gravy's the worst.
Are you serious? Come
Yeah,
on.
but no, there's something wrong with my palate. Like, it's not even one of those things where I feel like, ooh, that's gross. Like, I know I'm in the wrong. There's something wrong with my mouth because normal foods I don't like. So it's okay.
And you do like ketchup sandwiches,
Oh
so
my God, I forgot about that. That anybody knew that except me.
yeah. And I just told the world.
I
Anyway,
mean,
yes.
ketchup good, bread good. What could be bad about that
I
marriage,
can't
right?
get behind that.
Okay, and I do see the flaw in that because if you were like, okay, Lynn, you like mayonnaise and bread, how about a mayonnaise sandwich? No, that's disgusting. So there's no rhyme or reason to it, but the heart wants what the heart wants. And now the heart wants a ketchup sandwich.
Okay, so poutine. I just feel like you have to try it. If you ever come to Canada, we will try poutine. Just a bite, just a bite. I feel like it will change your life. I know this is a big statement, but I
I'll
just.
try it. I mean, gravy doesn't have anything that makes me want to stab myself in the face with a fork. Like, I don't generally love it, but it's not disgusting in my brain.
Okay.
So I'll try it. I'll try it.
It has to be the right type of poutine. It has to be like the chip stand poutine, not from a restaurant. There's specifics, which we'll get into if you ever come here.
Well, there's not like
Anyway.
gas station varieties,
Gas station variety.
like I didn't know how common this is. Is it like you go anywhere and you order it, or if it's,
No, you can't go anywhere. I feel like most places that are kind of like a diner would have it for sure. Gas station poutine is such an interesting. I really don't. I don't recommend if you ever go to a gas station,
I just love the
don't
thought
get
of like
poutine.
there's the hot dog on the rollers, and then you just load up some fries and you pump out the cheesy gravy on
No.
top.
Do you mean like the yellow pump cheese?
Yes, but
Oh
this
no.
time it'll be the gravy and cheese for.
Oh my gosh. No. Oh,
Okay.
that hurts my heart to
I feel like I'm
think. So
horrifying Canadians right now.
you 100% are. I'm going to see that in my nightmares. It's like you have to have cheese curds.
Oh,
Yes. So it's cheese
okay.
curds and gravy, but no, the best would be at like a chip stand. Have you ever been to a chip stand? Like a chip wagon, like a fry, like it
There's
would
a
be like
place.
a
There's a
food
place.
cart.
There's like a food truck that
Yes.
specifically is fries.
Yes.
Are you kidding me right
You
now? No. I would be the happiest person in the world. A fried food truck? Only French fries?
Yes. Those are ever. I'm very shocked that you guys don't have that in Nebraska. I feel like that would be like the number one thing. So they have like fries, poutine, hot dogs, hamburgers.
Oh, that sounds lovely. I
Yeah,
would love that
it's
to roll on
amazing.
past my house right now. I'd be running out like it was the Ding Ding Man.
Oh man, we went really off track. Okay,
Yeah,
so
we
yes,
did.
no, to answer your question, there
Okay.
is a scene where they go to the waterfront. So it's like kind of like the wharf where all the boats are, and there is a chip truck or a food truck that does poutine there on at the water, and they eat poutine, but they're kind of still in this like tense battle, and they're sharing one poutine. And as you know, well, as you don't know, but Canadians will know, you can't just have one bite. It becomes a very competitive thing to be the one to have the most. So they're just kind of eating poutine and just sort of, it's like a face off, a poutine face off.
That's
That was
amazing.
really fun. It was really fun because I was like, this is my kind of food, except I am lactose intolerant, so I have to limit my poutine
That's great.
intake.
Well, okay, so out of your three influencer books, like which one do you see more of yourself as? Out of like
Oh,
Crystal and Mel and why can't I think of
that's
the name of the character? And
Tara.
thank you. God, I know it, but I was like, what was her name again?
What's her
Thank you.
name? I forget
Which,
sometimes too.
yeah, like which one is the hardest to write and which one do you relate to the most?
I feel like I put a smidge of myself in each character, I think. And just kind of, blow that up in the character. So they're none of the characters are me, but there's a little droplet of each. And I think in terms of the character that is the least like me in general, which probably would have been the hardest to write, would definitely be Crystal. I think because our personalities are quite different. And just the fact that she is a fitness influencer. And for those who know me in real life, I am that not absolutely not. I don't know much about the gym. I mean, I did go to the gym pre-COVID, but I'm not like, some fitness CrossFit buff. So learning her day-to-day things and routine and that like fitness speak and mindset was definitely something that I had to research. And I think Crystal in general, she's kind of like a mom friend, and I feel like I'm like the little sister friend that needs to be taken care of at a party, where she would be like holding your hair if you get sick, kind of thing. That's not me. I'm usually probably the one that's going to be sick. And so I think, and Mel was, she and I are similar in that we're both kind of like city people, a little bit uncomfortable in the outdoors, in the elements. We both can be a little bit extra, but she also is somebody who, like, a lot of her emotions are off page because she is very closed. So she doesn't speak her emotions to the other characters in the dialogue. Sorry, I shouldn't say off page because they are in her inner monologue, but she's closed off. And so that was harder to write, I think. Whereas Tara in X's and O's is like all of she word vomits her thoughts. Every she wears her hearts on her sleeve.
I
And
love
so
her.
yeah, everything was just communicated. She was very easy to write because she's just like running monologues of thoughts. And so I think, and she just appealed to my romance loving side and just like the side that gets obsessed with things and just fangirls over things. And so that was really, really fun to write.
Well, I can't believe, honestly, you sell Crystal so well that I for sure assumed that you went through a phase where you were super into fitness. Like you
Look,
seriously sold that, where I assumed there was a part of you that had spent tons of time in the gym.
I feel like into fitness and being good at fitness would be a different thing. I definitely went through periods where I really, really would go to the gym all the time. Never did I do well in the gym or stick to it in any way, shape, or form.
Well, okay, so
But, you know.
now that the influencer books are over, do you think you'll put any of these characters in your other books? Will we see Crystal or any of them again, or no?
Tough question. I think I always like to believe that all of the books that I write exist kind of like in just the same universe because I only write contemporary, and so that would make sense. And so while I think the influencer series is done, I think that they might make a cameo, just like, a very, very brief cameo in another one. I feel like we talked about that as Berkeley authors, that like all of our contemporary books exist in the same world.
Right? Like that would be so fun to have crossovers with everybody. Like
Right?
Amy's influencers are walking over into Omaha. Well, why would they ever go there? One of my Omaha characters would go visit one of yours. That's the only way it would make sense.
Do all your characters live in Omaha?
So far, like the sequel that I'm working on, that's set at UCLA. But until that, yeah, they've all been in Omaha.
Okay. Do you think that you want to keep them all there just because like you're familiar with it?
I think it's just going to depend on the story. Like the only reason I haven't written them anywhere else is because every one of these stories, like in my YAs, the story isn't really about where they're at. It's about what's happening to them, in high school and with their friends. So it's like I could set it somewhere else, but since it
But
could
it
be
doesn't.
anywhere, I'm like, there's no books set in Omaha. We might as well put them in Omaha, So it's just sort
Exactly.
of happened that way. I'm not one of those people where I'm like, I want to write Omaha. Because I mean, there's probably not a lot of people who can relate or care, but so I'm sure they won't stay there forever. It's just kind of where they are. And like my next YA I know is set in Minnesota, so I guess I'm venturing out slowly, one book at a time.
Oh, is this your Hawking one?
Yes.
So I don't know if I told you, I'm from Northern Ontario, which is big, big, big hockey land.
Yeah.
And so Friday nights were spent at the arena watching the guys play hockey. So if you have any questions, I know you just did a weekend of research, but if you have questions, let me know.
I'm sure I'll have a question. It's one of those things where it's like my main character is not a hockey player, but there's dual POV and the story is more about I kind of fell in love with where my cousins live, like this place in Minnesota, and it's like the whole sorority is around that. So it's going to be a hockey book, but I don't know how in depth it's going to be into hockey. But it was so fun going to a hockey place and watching hockey all weekend and going to practice and being like, people do push-ups in skates and in hockey gloves? I would just break my nose. Like, anyways.
No, they're intense. Like they get up super early for the practices. The parents are there. Like hockey parents are on a whole other level.
Yeah, I
They're
saw that.
wild. They're like dance moms, but like some of them can be really aggressive. I've seen like fights, like parent fights.
Oh my gosh, really? Well, there is an intensity to the viewing where it's like even my cousins would be like, something had happened with the goalie, and then my cousin would be like, his dad's right there, like kind of warning me, like, keep your mouth shut, Kirkle, so you don't get me, so it was kind of funny.
Oh yeah, and like people are like slamming on the boards,
Oh my
like
gosh, yes. And like somebody goes in the penalty box and like the student section, because I went to high school hockey games because it's going to
okay.
be a YA book. And the student section is going crazy over there. And I'm like, I would be so intimidated.
Oh yeah, no, it's super, super fun though. I feel like that's like in Canada, that's like the Friday night. It's like it's not the football game, it's the hockey games.
That's wild. It's just, it's interesting to explore, we were talking about like sports, whether a lot of sports or not. And it's interesting to start exploring a sport that you really know nothing about, like the culture. Like I've watched
Yes.
NHL. I went to college for a year before I flunked out because I drank too much, in Minnesota. So it's like I went to some hockey games. So it's not like I'm unfamiliar with hockey, but I didn't grow up in hockey culture. So that's what I'm super fascinated by. But
Yeah,
anyways,
totally.
okay, so what are you working on now?
A lot of different things. So right now I am finishing up edits on my second coming of age YA young adult book, which
You
is not
are?
announced. So I don't know why I just said that, but yes, that is what
Okay,
I'm
well, I was gonna
doing.
ask now, but I won't.
Yeah, I think I will be able to talk about it soon. I should ask about that. But I wrote this book kind of like in the haze postpartum. So I,
Oh.
for those who don't know, I had a baby in April and then I had a little bit of a break and then I wrote this book. And that's something I was actually going to ask you about. Like, I don't know how you wrote books with the many children that you have, but it is hard.
Oh my gosh,
It's a whole
it's
new level of
impossible.
difficulty.
Well, and my kids, it's like when I had a whole house full of kids, they were a little bit older before my writing got serious. And then when I had Kate, well, I was just in the same situation as you, just trying to go like crazy during nap time and when they go to bed at night, because that's all you can do. You know, they don't let
Yeah,
you write. Those little
it's
turds don't
true.
let you write.
They no, they do not, and they suck all of the energy out of you, like all of the brain power. Like
Yes.
sometimes I'm sitting here and I'm trying to come up with words and you know description, and I'm just like I have nothing. I have nothing. It has to be placeholder, because I don't know how to describe this. I've just there's nothing in there. But yeah, so I'm working on that. I wrote that mostly summer fall. Doing the edits on it now, and gonna hand that in, and then I'm going to be I kind of already started it, but I'm gonna be diving back into writing the I guess my fourth adult book for Berkeley, and that is The Bodyguard Affair. So that one is Canadian for the Canadians in the chat, and that is, yeah, it's basically about the Prime Minister's personal assistant who is a secret kind of like erotica author, and things happen, and her identity is sort of like, I guess, I don't know what the best word is. It's outed, and she has to cover up this, or I guess this erotica career, by fake dating. Oh my gosh, I am butchering this, by fake dating the Prime Minister's bodyguard. This is what I mean by kids sucking the energy out of you.
Okay, but it doesn't matter because this book sounds so amazing. Like,
It's going to be
seriously.
really fun. And yes, Danielle, I'm taking you up on it. I'm going on a parliament tour with you and Kate. We need to go to, yeah, parliament, which is like, I guess, the Canadian version of the White House. So I can just see, you know, all the ins and outs of how things work over there. It's not going to be a political book in any way, shape, or form, but it will take place in the world.
This sounds amazing. Like, I am dying. When does that one come out?
I'm not sure.
I get that.
I've got to write it.
You're like, it's next on my list, but I don't know when the date is.
Yes. Lynn, come visit us and join. You're
Oh,
welcome
I
to
would love to
come.
go to Canada. That would be amazing
Try
someday.
some poutine. We can get you what are those other things? Moose. No, beaver tails. Beaver tails are also it's not a real beaver. It's
What is that?
like a pastry shaped in like flat beaver tail shape. And it has like Nutella and, you know, fun stuff on it. You would like it, I think.
This sounds fine so far.
We'll
I'm not
just
going to
trick you
say
into all
no
these weird foods.
yet. Yes,
But what are you working on? So, because you have Happily Never After coming out in March, next month,
like
right?
a month from like today, I
Ooh,
think.
I'm so excited. I love Sophie and Max. I read this one when you sent it to me. You sent me a bootleg copy like forever ago. So I don't even know if it's the same version. You sent it to me like last year. When you like first finished it.
Yeah, when it
So
was called The Objectors,
yes, and I really
which
liked that title.
I liked that title only because it sounded
Me
like a superhero and I could never
too.
write anything cool and superhero-y. So I was like, yeah. And then I suck at
Yeah,
titles. And of course, everybody who doesn't suck at titles is like, no, that's not a good title. And I was like, are you sure?
okay,
No,
well,
not
I saw good titles and I was like, yes, I love it because it reminded me of Speak Now by Taylor Swift. Anyway, it was that whole vibe. I was feeling it. So for those who don't know anything about Happily Never After, do you want to give a little
Yes,
pitch?
but I don't want to take your time. Happily Never
Please do
After.
talk about yourself. I hate talking about myself.
Don't we all? Like, people ask you questions, and all of a sudden you're like, who wrote this? I don't know anything about
Just
it.
deflect, deflect.
Right? Happily Never After is the story of Max and Sophie. Essentially, the book starts, and our girl Sophie is getting married, but she doesn't want to get married. She knows her fiance cheated, but because her fiance's father-in-law is her father's boss, she doesn't want to be the one to call off the wedding and have it come back on her because that will hurt him. So her friend knows someone who knows somebody who objects at weddings for money. Like when people say, if you know any reason these two should not be married, if you pay this guy, he'll stand up and be like, I object, and you know, knows all the right words to say to make the wedding go away. So they hire this person, so her wedding does not go off. He stands up, and of course, it's a romance novel, so he's absolutely beautiful. He objects, and then after the the wedding falls apart. They have drinks, and he's very charming and a little altruistic. And the reason why he does this, because he's trying to save people from ruining their lives. And she's like, oh, that would be really funny if we did it together. Ha ha ha. They go their separate ways. And then a few months later, he texts her like, I actually need your help. And she's like, what? I didn't mean it. And then they become, it's kind of friends to lovers, and they start going to different weddings to object together. And of course, feelings happen and chemistry occurs. So that is
Yes.
Happily Never After. I'm not good at explaining it at all.
No, I was just going to say it's so much more eloquent than my description of the Bodyguard affair. Didn't even know what I was saying.
Yours was great. You sold me. So even if you sucked, I really want to read it. So you did a good job.
No, but I though for those who are watching, I did read Happily Never After and I loved it. The banter, top notch as usual. So everybody pre-order.
Oh, and I loved the banter and the catch, by the way. I meant to bring that up. I love the banter. And I think part of it is because Mel is so smart and not a softie. You know how you were like, neither one of them are sunshine? I feel like that was what really made the banter pop because they neither one of them are sunshine. I
They're
really
just
love it.
willing to just
Yes.
dig right in there.
Dig. Yes. I loved that. I thought it was so great.
We should probably get to the questions.
Oh.
I think we had some questions in the chat and then some in the Q&A.
Okay. Heather wants to know, do you find it more difficult writing for the YA audience or adult, or are they both about the same?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That's a
Do you
good
want to
question.
go first?
For me, I don't know why it's harder for me to write YA. Like, it seems like when I go to write an adult book, like the first draft, I can lay it down pretty quickly. And YA takes me a lot longer. And like this, the YA I'm writing right now, I'm literally on my third version of chucking the entire thing and starting over. So I feel like for some reason, YA is harder for me. But when it's done, I feel like I'm almost more proud of the finished product. Like I don't know. I think it maybe has to do with just me. I don't know.
It's just you.
Why don't you answer? Because I'm all over the place.
I agree with you. I think there's an extra challenge with YA, probably just because we are now removed from being teens, right? And so you kind of have to, there's an extra step in tapping into that mindset. And I feel like the teen mindset in writing a teen character is just different than an adult because A, they have these extra parameters of like high school or college
Yes.
or whatever, structure of their life, which is just different than just normal work. And so you can't just throw them in any scenario because they like would have to have permission from their parents, like to be out
Right,
and,
right.
just like very logistical things. And then also just the emotional side, like teens are so emotional and they fixate on certain things and, crushes are the biggest deal. Friends are such a huge deal. So you really have to amp up those emotions. And I kind of think too, with YA, you have to be like with adult books they can be more just like fun and carefree. And with teens, I feel like, I don't know if this is just me, but I feel like a greater responsibility to have, a message or like
I
some.
do feel the same way. Like not necessarily a message, but I feel like it's easier to just be like, oh, it's a fun romp with adult. And YA, I feel like there's a lot more internal and external conflict, even if your plot is exactly the same. Like if you're like, these two people are going to fake date, I feel like there's a lot more conflict in YA, and I suck at conflict. So I feel like that's why it's a lot harder for me because I could just write an entire book of just people having fun in every scene, but that doesn't actually make a book. So I really struggle with that. So I feel like it's even more difficult in YA than it is in adult.
For sure. It's like the emotional stakes just for whatever reason feel heavier.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, Shaylee is asking, and Shaylee has an agent and is out on submission. I know her, she's my friend. And so I feel for her because she, being out on submission is so hard, but she's going to get a book deal soon. And I'm so excited for her to do one of these with us and she can tell us all about her book. Okay. Do you like making vision boards, playlists when you plan out your novels, Amy?
I do. I do. And it's actually like embarrassingly enough, I know that this is a thing that people do. I only kind of just started doing it. I used to do it more just for characters, like for visuals of what they actually look like. But now I'm kind of doing it for the vibes. And with playlists, it's also something that I used to only do after the book was done, more for readers, but like because I'm not a music listener while I write. I'm a weirdo who needs total silence. Like any sound just distracts me. And so I never, made them as I go, but I feel like just to, get into it, I think that it's something that I have to start. I know you do though, right? You have
What,
like
which
tons of playlists.
it's weird. I don't really make playlists for my adult books. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But for my YA books, I totally do. And then they become their own thing where it's like there's multiple iterations where once I start editing, I'll change them out and stuff. And it's this whole thing. And it's weird because I'm kind of like you. I have to have silence, but I'll like start out making a playlist for vibes of the book that I'll listen to like in my car and when I'm doing everything else. But if I put on headphones and crank it, it doesn't distract me. It's like so loud, it's my whole world, and I can zone in on writing. But if it's not in headphones, super loud, I can't have music at all. It has to be quiet.
Interesting.
I'm
I've never heard
very
that
weird.
before. That's really cool.
I'm a weird person. I'm
You
just,
just said, yeah, you just have to just blast it and then
right?
I'll
Like,
try
I'm
that.
like, I'm either losing my hearing and it's working, or I need total silence. So.
Whatever works.
Okay, well, regarding YA and adult, since we've been talking about that, how does your writing process differ between the two? Or does it at all?
Honestly, for me, I don't think it's a different process with YA versus adult. I think just every book in general, I just happen to have a very different process. And I don't know why. I think my best guess is that just every book comes to me in a very different way. Some books come fully formed, and then others are just an inkling of an idea that I then have to work on developing and plotting. And some books I can have plotted and pretty much write them from there because I already know how it's going to go and it's very uniform. And then other ones, I just change everything about it many times over. And so those ones tend to be trickier because I just can't make up my mind and things just change and the characters just, do whatever they want to do. But that doesn't really differ between YA and adult. It's honestly just the book and the plot and the characters. How
I'm the
about for
exact
you?
same way. I'm the exact
Yeah.
same way. I think a lot of people think you approach YA like, oh, I need to young it down, or I'm writing for teens. And I don't. Like everyone is just, I'm writing, it's just the only difference is the character age. And
Yeah.
I kind of attack it the same way. So I agree.
Yes, for sure. I think I will say though, I actually find writing young adult more fun in some ways, just because I think I had a really fun high school experience and I just loved it. And I know like a lot of people did not, but it's some of my best memories in life. And so for me, tapping into that is super, it's just really fun. And it's cool to, describe things that because high school is such like a universal experience. Whereas, if you're making up a character with a specific job, that's not necessarily something that you do or that you know about. You're, approaching it from the outside. Whereas with YA, everyone has been a teen. So you're really writing from a lot of personal experience, which I find really fun.
I completely agree with you. Okay, do you have any advice for querying authors?
Ooh, do you want to go first?
You know, my advice, the thing I wish I would have known before I got rejected a million times, for a million different books, is that your query letter should just be focused on selling this book. I feel like so many times you read all these books and you're trying to put like in a paragraph like awards you might have won or what your job is, and you're not selling yourself. I mean, of course you are, but agents are busy. They just want to have a book where they look at your query letter and go, oh my gosh, I need to read more. I could sell this book. So it's like, I wish I would have known to just do it like the blurb on the back of a book. Just make your book the most intriguing thing where they have to read more. That's what I wish I would have known back.
That's actually such good advice. And because I think the most important thing is that the agent falls in love with the book.
Yes.
That's the number one thing. That's what you're trying to sell. So yes, 100%. And for people who don't know, Lynn and I actually have the same agent. So my first interaction with you was when when agents, I guess offer to represent you, usually you check into references and you talk to clients of theirs. And so you were one of the ones that our agent had said, feel free to reach out to Lynn. So I didn't know you at the time. I emailed and then I got back. Like, I remember there was just tons of exclamation marks, like, Kim is amazing. And I was like, oh my gosh, she loves her. This is great. So thank you for
Kim's
that.
great. I love Kim.
So yes, me too. So to answer the question, I think I did a question about this in my stories yesterday. I mean, there's tons of advice out there. For me, I think the biggest thing is, I mean, so you and I are similar in that we got a lot of rejections. I feel like I was rejected for my first book, like I gotta say, like 50 times. Like it was a lot. And it's one of those things that it's really hard mentally to deal with that. And I think one of the things that I wish that I had done that a lot of people do is send out queries in batches, like smaller batches, so that A, if there is any feedback that you're finding consistently comes up that speaks to you, that you feel that you want to implement, you have time to do that instead of having already, sent it out to like 50 people with these things that you wish you could have fixed. That's one of my things. And then also just having a list of agents that you still have that you can query once you get rejections, because I think most people inevitably do get rejections. And, when you get one that trickles in that hurts, you can just fire off a couple more and put that into the universe. And
That's
I
so
guess my,
smart.
yeah, I mean, I did not do that. I just got just a bulk of
Yep, me
rejections.
too.
And I had an emotional support snack. So every time I had a rejection, which was a lot, this is why I have chips in my bio, like bags of chips, because I just ate chips almost every single time. I was like, I deserve this. I went through hardship, open chips. So yes, an emotional support net or just something that like makes you feel better because it's tough.
It is. It's impossible. Okay. We're going to do speed round on the last few questions because it's almost over. What are your favorite genres to read?
And thriller.
Really? And what?
Thriller.
Me too. Okay. So what's your favorite book you wrote in the Influence series?
Oh,
Influencer
man.
series.
I love them all for different reasons. I think The Catch is the one that I love the premise the most. I think that one was the most fun. It just was a premise that called to me. If I were, somebody who's looking in a bookstore, I would probably gravitate to that just because I personally love small town, fish out of water romances.
Yeah.
But I think my favorite was X's and O's just because I loved her. I have a special place in my heart for her, and I just love friends to lovers. That's my new thing.
Which romance tropes are your favorite, and which ones do you really want to write in the future?
Ooh, well, I just said friends to lovers. I love friends to lovers. I would like to try a second chance. How about you?
I feel like I love them all and I feel like
I
I write
know.
them all. Like I put fake dating in every freaking book I write. Like I'm like, oops, I don't know. I guess they have to fake date now. Like
Just
there's
have the
no
fake
reason
date.
for it and I do it. And I'm finally writing kind of a second chance. So I don't know what there's left for me to do that I like. So accidental
Nodding.
no
That's not a trope.
nodding. Nodding. Yeah, I got this, but I haven't started it yet. So I need to read my nodding book.
I
Okay.
read chapter one and it's amazing. Sorry,
Oh,
we'll keep
it's
going.
always amazing. She's too good. She's too good. Everything she writes is amazing. What's more difficult for you, the drafting process or the editing process?
Oh, honestly, the drafting. I hate drafting. I think it's just like getting the words out on page is just the hardest part for me because I think it's just like the biggest labor, right? Is just like getting it all out there and telling yourself the story first. For me, editing is really hard as well. And I'll always say, like during the editing process, oh, this is the worst part. I hate it. But I think when I look back on it, it's easier for me because there's things to change. There's words there to edit and play around with and make better. And I love just like shining it up and making it sound good.
I agree. I agree. I love editing. I mean, I don't love editing, but I love editing.
In comparison.
Okay, the last question I was going to ask before and I forgot, so I'm really glad it came up. out of all your books, which male main character is your favorite?
Oh.
Because I fell in love with Scott, and I don't know if I could move past him.
Trevor, for sure, for me. But for you, my favorite male character for you, Wes, 100%. Like,
oh.
And I know he's like a teen, but like, whatever.
I would feel like there needs to be a disclaimer. If you read YA, you're allowed to fall in love with the characters because you are reading in a YA mindset. 100%. I feel like I always need to say that just to clarify, like, I'm not hot for an 18-year-old in real life.
You guys are pros at speed round answering. That was amazing. All right. Well, before we end, we like to ask our authors what book that they read recently or just like one that you can't get off your mind, what book you guys would like to recommend. So would either of you guys like to start first?
I just finished Nosy Neighbors. Did you read Freya's book yet?
I did not.
She just writes such great, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, all of her books are so rich with characters. Did she writes this whole cozy world that you want to be a part of. So Nosy Neighbors by Freya Sampson. I can't remember when it comes out.
What genre is it? Is it like cozy?
It's like her, it's like her other ones where it's kind of fiction with a little mystery. It's,
like upmarket.
I would call it like book club fiction. It comes out April 2nd. It's so, so, so good. What about you, Amy?
So I started reading Bride. I read the prologue and I read chapter one. Obsessed. I had to stop because I was like, I need to get through release day and I need to finish my edits. And I was like, gonna save it as a prize for myself, as like a treat. But oh my God. And I will say, I don't read like paranormal. I don't really tend to read fantasy. Not that it's fantasy. I guess it's like paranormal. I don't tend to like stray from contemporary. So this is a totally new territory for me, but I'm already obsessed. And I was never like a Twilight kind of person, but I'm living for it, living for it.
So yeah, that's all for tonight. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Yes, thank you so much for coming. Thank you to the Meet Cute Bookshop for hosting us and to Lynn for moderating. I really appreciate it.
This was so fun. Yes.
And there you have it. A huge thank you to Amy and Lynn for being utter delights. If this conversation has made you want to pick up a copy of The Catch by Amy Lee, Happily Never After by Lynn Painter, or any of Amy or Lynn's other books, you can do that in our shop or on our website, meetcutebookshop.com. And if you've been enjoying this podcast, I would so appreciate it if you could take a moment to rate and review it on the podcast listening platform of your choosing. Or you could share about it on social media. That helps other people find us, and that helps us keep making podcasts. That's all for this episode of the Meet Cute Book Pod. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Becca, the owner of Meet Cute Romance Bookshop in San Diego, California, and I hope you'll tune back in for more deep dives into romance writing, reading, and publishing.